Alright. Go ahead and stand up. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll get rolling. I'll pick the first song, then after that I'll toss it out to you guys.
Bryn! You better not grab that baby.
Yeah.
Can I hold
Bryn? Sure. Wherever she
Amanda.
Is.
Amanda!
Kenzie, you saw it.
I called
Alright, go ahead and stand up, guys. Let's pray and we'll get rolling. Alright. Brady, don't touch that. Oh, nothing yet. I'll pray and then I'll call it.
I know what's coming in, but what the page number is. Page number nine.
It's actually
really hot. Okay, let's pray, guys, and then we'll get rolling. Lord, thanks for this time that we get to spend together after a good Sunday service this morning, Lord, and time in prayer groups. I just pray and ask that you just give us some dessert now, Lord, as these kids will go ahead and pass on to us, Lord, what you put on their heart. I pray that we can all listen to what they have to say, Lord, and just look inwardly at what you're trying to do with each and every one of us as individuals. Take this time as we get ready to sing to help us to turn our hearts and minds back to you. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
195.
He's at 195.
Got it.
Okay.
All right, look and live. Here we go. Let's sing all that pasta. Get all that pasta moving around us. Let it come out of our mouths now. Look and live. 195. Here we go. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. The message unto you I'll give. Is recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Is recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. I have a message full of love, hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. Tis a message from above, hallelujah. Jesus said it and I know it's true. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Life is offered unto you, hallelujah. Eternal life thy soul shall have. If you'll only look to him, hallelujah. Look to Jesus who alone can save. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. I will tell you how I came, hallelujah, to Jesus when he made me whole. T'was believing on his name, hallelujah. I trusted and he saved my soul. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. All right, I want to do one more, 116, and then I'll pass it off to you guys. 116. A new one I want to get really familiar with. Make this an old standard for us. Old sacred hand now wounded. All right, 116. Oh, sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thy only crown. How art thou pale with anguish, with sorrow?
deadly pain. Oh, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, thou save to me thy grace. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow?
Thy pity!
Thy pity without end.
Oh, make me thine!
Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to
Verse 3,
thee.
Back to the top.
What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end. Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee.
Verse number 2.
What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. My mind was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Oh, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy praise. Look on me with thy favor, thou save to me thy
grace. Sacred head!
O sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thy only crown. How art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn? How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn?
All right, what's our last one before Logan comes up? What's that?
448.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. 448.
What is these? He ransomed me. All right. Here we go. Cody, why do you like this song? Caleb, why do you like this song?
Oh, we sang it New Year's. I think the first time I heard that, I really liked it.
All right. He ransomed me. And he did. All right. 448. Here we go.
There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame has brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. From the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he brought me, when I knew him not he sought me. And in love divine he ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. By and by, with joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up to thee, with Christ eternally. I will join the host there singing in the anthem ever ringing. To the King above who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
AJ, pray for Logan. We'll hear from him.
Dear Lord, I just pray that you give Logan the words to say and help it to touch our hearts and minds, and just let us be safe when we go out and we go ice skating and just have fun time of fellowship together, Lord. And I pray for the guys going back up to Lincoln that you just give them a safe ride home this afternoon, Lord. I pray this all in your son's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I think I've seen all of you before and I know all of you, but my name's Logan. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy 4:12. You know, I'm in high school and I've been going to high school for a few years now, and it's really, really different than middle school. Like, I know you still have 7 classes and you have 7 teachers and stuff like that, but the people there are a lot different, and that can be for better or for worse. They can either be one of your best friends or they can be just a really bad person. And you know, I try my hardest to stay with the principles of the Word of God and try and reach lost people. And, you know, like, I see people all the time bringing their friends to church and be like, I want to bring my friends to church. Like, how can I do that? And there's a lot of different ways that you can do that, but I wanted specific instructions on how I'm supposed to do this, and that can be found in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let me read it. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." You know, here Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's telling him that you're the most influential at your youth, and this is how you can reach these lost people. Now, Timothy isn't necessarily reaching out towards lost people. He's about to be the pastor of one of the churches that Paul has started, but he's still really young. And you see a lot of pastors with a lot of experience that have been in the ministry for a long time, but Timothy has been in the ministry, but he's still pretty young. And many times young people are known for their ignorance and their rebellious behavior. However, Paul sees the other side of this and realizes that that people are most effective at a young age. As the verse says, we are to be an example. While other teens are restless and unruly, you don't really see a lot of kids opening up their Bibles and talking to God or praying before lunch. You often get stared at a lot of times. I know when I pray a lot of times at lunch, it makes me feel uncomfortable, like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to ask me a question, or somebody's going to be like, oh, this is you're one of those people. Paul saw this as an opportunity to be an example and to reach out to the lost world. But that's not all the verse says. We must be examples in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I feel like a good example of this in the Bible is Daniel. And to me, Daniel, outside of Jesus Christ, Daniel to me is who we should strive to be most like. Turn your Bibles to Daniel 1. A little bit of background knowledge of what's going on here. If you read the first few verses, Jerusalem has been captured by the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar. And once the city was taken, the king of the Babylons took, or the Babylonians took the best of Israel and was going to teach them the ways of the Babylonians. Verses 3 through 5. The king spake unto whatever that guy's name is, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and the king, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. This passage can also be used as a picture of us really entering the world and having to face it head on. And this day will come for all of us if it hasn't already. Because Daniel here is just a really young kid, and his city's been taken. He'll never see his family again, and he's all alone, and he has to face the world on his own, but he has God on his side. Daniel chose to stand up against this evil day and choose God over the world. I'm going to read verses 12 through 21. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion and of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with them thy servants. He consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children that did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of the king of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. For as for these four children, God gave them the knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them was all found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued unto the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel in his youth was an example to the rest of Babylon and followed the guidelines laid out in 1 Timothy 4:12. First of all, he was in the Word. This is a picture of like Daniel being in his Bible. Bible a lot of the times is seen as a picture of like food or manna or something like that. And Daniel is eating the pulse, which is like vegetables and stuff. It's stuff that the Jews were supposed to eat, and he would not take of the world, which was the king's meat. It was a picture of him being in the Word of God. And notice that this is first in 1 Timothy 4:12. That's the first thing. Because if we are not in our Bibles every day, we cannot do the rest of these things or be an example to the believers. Because the Word of God is our daily provision. In conversation, and conversation just means your lifestyle. Daniel, through not eating of the king's meat, was able to be 10 times stronger than everyone else. He chose the lifestyle of God. He was a great example to the worldly Babylonians of what God can do in a person. In charity, he gave up all the things of the world, all the riches and prestige for the things of God, and it paid off. In spirit, your spirit is basically your will. And the world was never able to break the will of Daniel because he was rooted in the Word of God as we should be. And like I said, it always goes back to the Word of God. In faith, Daniel had faith in God that he was going to make him 10 times stronger than the rest of the magicians. His life could have been on the line, and he put all his faith in God. And to think that sometimes we lose faith in God for the simplest things. Lastly, in purity, Daniel stayed pure by staying with God. He gave up all that the world had to offer to stay pure with God. It reminds me of the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Yes, I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Daniel understood this, and we should understand this too. As a youth, it is especially important and impressive to understand and, most importantly, apply 1 Timothy 4:12. Imagine in 20 years from now, some kid or even an adult at your school getting saved based on what you did with your life and how you lived. We are supposed to minister to the world and be an example to it. And by being an example of the believer, we can achieve this. And I know this may sound harsh, but we could also be the reason why somebody goes to hell, because we didn't follow the principles of the Word of God. Nobody wants that. So our job is to be in our Bible every single day and be applying it to our lives. We must be different than the world, and people should be able to tell. By following these things laid out in 1 Timothy 4:12, we can be a light for people in this dark world.
Thank you, Logan. That was great. All right, what's our first song? Who's got it? Go ahead and stand on your feet. 181. Logan, 181. Is that Onward Soldiers? Onward Christian Soldiers.
You said
181.
Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus. Going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus. Going on before, at the sign of triumph, Satan's hosts doth flee. On them, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers. marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, moves our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Our next one.
272.
Let's hear something from a girl. What was it?
292.
All right, 292.
Good choice.
All right.
Are we going to the room?
No.
Okay.
Logan can do a solo there. Alright. He always gets mad at me when I don't do it because I can't sing it. Alright, 292, Surely Goodness and Mercy. Here we go.
A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through that dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare.
Verse number 2.
He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way.
On the first verse.
When a pilgrim was I and a wandering, in the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Of course, one more time.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Let's do it. do number 50. I love that one. Ferris Lord Jesus. Alright, here we go. On the first.
Ferris Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown.
On that first verse again.
Ferris, Lord Jesus.
That pasta making you guys sleepy? Oh, yeah, yeah. Alright, my anchor holds. Here we go. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know what with all the winds may blow, I'm an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest fin, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep. Earth lurk within the deep. Angry clouds will shade the sky. And the tempest rises high, still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest fin, O gale, on my bark so small and frail, by His grace I shall not fail. My anchor holds, I can feel the anchor fast, as I meet each sudden blast, and the cable though unseen, there's the heavy strain between, through the storm I safely ride, till the turning of the tide. Troubles almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll, tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day, but in Christ I can be bold, I've an anchor that shall hold, and behold, so small and frail, by His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His home. And the joy speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
All right, Mackenzie, pray, and then we'll have Trey come up.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all of us being able to meet here. Please give Trey the words to say, Lord, and please help for us to have a good rest of the day. And I love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So today, I'm just going to be kind of like talking about my freshman year in high school and how I really struggled following with God. And that's just going to be basically my little devotion today. So I'm going to start in 8th grade a little bit. So for those that were here during 8th grade, most of you guys knew me. I was very happy and cheerful, and I was just outgoing, I'd say myself. And I really loved the church. I was trying to put out as much I could. I mean, I was asked to do a few devotions every once in a while, and I would say yes instantly. Like, I would like hop on them, and I would try to work so hard to like make one of the best devotions I could. And I just kept trying to do that in 8th grade. Well, towards the end of 8th grade, I kind of like slowly started to downfall on that. And I just kind of like jumped off the cliff a little bit on freshman year. So 8th grade, the end of 8th grade year to 8th grade summer, I just kind of like slowly dipped off until freshman year hit. And I met an individual that I knew previous year in 8th grade, which was also led me to start downfalling with the Lord. And I met him again. And this year, we became really good friends, like closest friends I've ever had. And I thought it was like a true friendship came out. It was not true at all. It was fake. He just played with me the entire time. But it led me so far from the Lord that like I was just disappointed with myself. And I've come back this year, and I feel pretty confident this year. But I'm just going to be talking about that downfall my freshman year. So a common issue amongst Christians today is with their walk with the Lord. And I'm trying to keep their walk with the Lord and make sure that's sturdy. And like having that solid Christian relationship and that rock as a foundation with the Lord. Just as we're basically houses, just as a house has a foundation, like a concrete foundation that your house sits on. We also have that foundation, which is the Lord. And that's where we build up upon. And we try to build up to praise him, not ourselves. And I slowly, when I, in eighth grade, when I was doing all those devotions, I was doing it for the Lord, but for some reason, I also took it for myself, because people at school, I was telling people at school, like, I'd pray at lunch and stuff, and people would, like, make fun of me and everything, and I was doing it for the Lord. And then, towards the end of that year, I met this individual, and he was like, dude, that's awesome, you should, like, boast about that. And I started boasting about myself at school, and, you know, eventually, it didn't turn in for the Lord, it turned in for myself. And that's one thing that you're never supposed to do. You can't just boast for yourself. And that's also in what Zach talked about in 2 Timothy 3:4. That's one of the things that like men become towards the end of times. You start becoming more boastful. You start boasting about yourself. That's what I started doing. Like I said, we all know that like a house has a foundation. And that's where you start with your house. You build up. And that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian as well. You're supposed to start with that foundation, which is the Lord, and then build up that house for the Lord. So that way, when you get up there, you can turn that in and make it praise him and maybe, you know, get some people saved down here as well. So my foundation started cracking towards the 8th grade year. Well, when I came back freshman year and I met this individual at lunch, it cracked even worse. It was a huge crack by the end of freshman year. It was terrible, like my entire foundation was gone. So I was freshman year, I was like, new year, new me, freshman year, high school, this is awesome, what's up? So I went in, I was like, it was a freshman transition day, and I was like sitting in the PAC looking for some friends. I was like, man, I have to find some friends in some of my classes, like, you know, I can't go in freshman year with no friends, I mean, that's not okay. So I was like looking for some friends. I was like, hey, anybody got these classes? Nobody had any classes. So I had to go in every class, make some new friends. I made a little friends in every class, and then lunch came. And I was like, I don't want to be a loner sitting in lunch by myself. I went outside. I was like, it was a beautiful day. I went outside. I was like, looking around. I was like, I don't see anybody. And then I seen this one individual. I was like, I remember him from Tri. He has the same haircut. Walked over there, sat over there. If you guys knew his haircut, you'd understand why I said that. It was like Justin Bieber's haircut, like when he first started. So I walk over there and I was like, "What's up, man?" And we started talking, and we're pretty good friends, you know. I mean, we just kind of left off where we started eighth grade, and we just continued that friendship. Well, then I had another friend of mine that was in our class. He was a really good friend of mine. We were both a little chubby in eighth grade, so we became really good friends. We sat next to each other in our class, and we just, like, had good times. You know, I thought he was pretty cool. Eighth grade year, he was still cool. I mean, he still had his morals correct. But as we hung out with this one individual more and more, both of our morals just kind of slowly depleted until, like, it was nothing. It was just rock bottom. And, I mean, that's how, like, much influence, as Logan said, like, a youth has on other youths. Like, you have so much of an impact on other youths. Like, this individual had such an impact on me. Like, we just became, like, brothers almost. I thought we were brothers, but obviously not. But he just took me and my friend Zach, that was his name, he just took us down the road. And Zach still to this day hasn't, like, realized that. And he's going through some times right now that are pretty crappy. And I'm trying to help him, but he's so solid with Evan that I don't think I can break it. So we just kept hanging out. And this individual, like, took me into a depression state eventually. Like, he was so depressed with his life that he, like, it started rubbing off with me. So, as Bob once said in, like, a sermon when I first started coming here, if you try to hang out with a negative person, it's like negative and positive wires. The negative will always win. And I was that positive wire, and I was trying to be positive for everybody else. And then that one individual was a negative wire, and we weren't compatible. And he just shot and blew my fuse or whatever you want to call it, and I became negative as well. I became a very depressed state. I came to church. I put on a fake smile. I tried to make everybody laugh here at church. When I came here Sundays and Thursdays freshman year, I put on this biggest, fakest smile you could ever see. I tried to act like I was normal, and I couldn't do it. I would go home, and I would just sit in my bed. I'd try to pray to the Lord. Be like, help me, Lord. I need some help. I was like, I need some help, Lord. I know I'm not doing what's right, and I need you. I don't know what to do. And it just kept getting worse. I just kept going. It just went worse. And I went through a suicidal depression state where that's all I could think about. And, you know, Evan didn't really help with that situation. He just made me more and more depressed. But, you know, I didn't see that. I just kept hanging out with him more and more. And it just completely just shattered my heart. And I was very negative freshman year. Like, friends would come up to me, like my old friends would come up to me, and they were like, Trey, you have something wrong with you. And I was like, nah, man, I'm great. I'm doing just fine. I was like, dude, I don't need any help, man. I'm okay. I don't need your help. I'm all right. And that's why I put on a fake smile here. I was like, I don't need anybody. I'm okay. You know, I didn't think I needed the Lord. I didn't think I needed anybody else. I thought I could stand on my own two feet. And obviously, I can. And I needed the Lord as my foundation to build up for him and give him the glory. And I also needed friends. I mean, you can't just support by yourself. You need support in your life. And the number one support you can have is God. You also need people, Christians, to help you support that when you're going through times like this. They need to be your brace when you need it. And then you can also be a brace for them when they need you. And you just need that support in your life, because you can't just go through life like, I can support myself, I don't need anything. You just need to have support. And I didn't have that freshman year at all. I just kept going, kept getting very, very depressed. And eventually I started disobeying, like not respecting my parents. I would go against what they would say. I never went too far as going on drugs or doing anything like that, luckily. I knew where to draw the line, and that was my line. I never tried to drink or do weed or any type of drug like that. That's where I drew my line. I was like, he tried to do that for me, and I was like, no, man, I'm okay. I don't need that. But that was my only moral that I really did have freshman year, was I don't need that in my life. And that was literally the only moral that kept me from completely going off the cliff freshman year into an abyss. And, like, that individual led me so far from the Lord that, like, I honestly wanted to commit suicide because of so many different things. And, I mean, I don't really know why I went down there. I was very positive as that before, and I'm trying to bounce back now and become more positive. And I've started reading my Bible more. I'm starting to pray a lot more than I did freshman year. And I've seen a lot of different changes than from freshman year, like where I was disobeying my parents, like boasting about myself, trying to commit suicide. I'm now doing none of those. I'm respecting my parents and everything. And Lord really just changed his life, because once you lose him, you realize how crappy life really is and how bad things can actually get for you if you don't have the Lord in your life. Like, once you realize that you've lost the Lord and then you get him back in your life, you realize how much of a difference he actually makes for you. And that's what I've noticed this year as a sophomore. My story is kind of like this guy that I've researched on the internet. It's not exactly as bad as his. Who's heard of Ross Cappuccioni? Anybody? No? So it was a kid that lived in Detroit, and it was his junior year of high school. He went into a class. He didn't really have any friends in that class, and so some gangsters were, like, making fun of him and, like, giving him a lot of crap. And one of the gangsters, like, approached him at lunch, and then they became pretty good friends. Ross just was worried about school and making good grades and going on to college, making a better life for him and his mother and his family as well. With the other kid, a gang had approached him that had, like, watched out for him for his life because he didn't have any parents or, like, friends or really anything besides the gang members that he had there for him. And they say, all you have to do is kill an innocent person, and that was Ross. So he made friends with Ross so he could kill Ross because he figured Ross was weak. Well, sometime Ross's uncle sold him a car, and Ross brought it to school one day, and his friend was like, hey, let's go on a ride down the block. And his, like, friend was like, no. He kept saying no for like 2 weeks. He was like, dude, that's a sketchy spot. It was like east side of Detroit, where I guess the police officers, like, don't help anything. Like, they just wait for the gunshots to, like, stop, and then they'll come up and pick off the bodies off the streets. That's it. And he was like, dude, I'm not going over there. Well, finally, he was like, I'll be fine. I'll go over there. He took his friend over there, and Ross got kicked out of the seat from his friend, and his friend got out of the car and pulled out a shotgun, shot him in his arm, and his arm was, like, almost fell off. And Ross was just sitting there like, I just heard a gunshot, but my arm's dangling, but I must be dreaming. And right as he thought he was dreaming, he got shot in the chest from his friend. And he, like, falls to his knees, and he's like, I'm being shot right now. Is this friend trying to kill me? And the guy hit him in his mouth with the barrel of the shotgun, or not the barrel, the stock, and his teeth went flying. And then he tried to shoot out his brains, and Ross, with his one arm, hit the barrel as he shot, and it just, like, skimmed his head. And Ross lived eventually. He went to the hospital, like, for 3 days. He was in a coma and wouldn't wake up or wasn't responding, and then third day, he, like, woke up, and he couldn't remember anything but his dad's phone number. It was the only thing he remembered. And his dad got the call. It came up to the hospital, and they just thought he was, like, lost or, like, left the town or something, and they didn't even know that that happened to his son. I guess 3 days after he woke up, they took him to some therapy, and he left and went home, and now he's fine. So, like, that's kind of what happened to me. I didn't get shot or anything, obviously. It was more of a backstabbing of friendship, that where you thought you had a decent, awesome friendship, and you could trust them with the world, and they just take that world from you and just completely destroy your life, almost. And that's pretty much what happened with me. And so that's my little devotion.
Thank you very much, Trey. That was great, man. That story that Trey just talked about, with Ross and everything, he said, and he was relating it to his personal incident that happened between him and his friend, thinking he had a friend, and got backstabbed by him. There's a couple of things I do want to say just off of what Trey talked about. Number one is that the Bible is very clear when it comes to celebrating things and looking at the success you're having in life, how you got to look at it. The Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. You guys are all very young and getting started with your personal relationships with Jesus Christ. And you're going to get, that's going to fire up a lot of adults. They're going to see kids, instead of being caught off in the other, you know, goofy things that most kids are caught in, they're going to be impressed by you wanting to get into your Bibles, wanting to get up and do devotions. They're going to give you opportunities to come speak to adults because it's just encouraging. It's awesome to see the stuff that they know really matters in life, to see you guys catching on to it at a young age. And that's going to incite them. It's going to, excite them and encourage them. And so I remember Trey got before and preached to the church. AJ has. Some of your other ones have, you know, got up there and, you know, preached. And it's just really exciting. It's awesome. But don't forget, guys, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. The moment you guys start doing that, you become a target to the devil. All right? You're no longer just some random kid that, you know, has no effect on anything. Now, if you guys keep going on the road that you're on, you're becoming a potential nuclear threat to the devil and what he's trying to accomplish in this world. You understand that? So anybody with a brain, like just like what we should have done when we first saw the beginnings of ISIS, we should have went and killed it before it grew into this adult monster that we're dealing with. What do you think the devil's going to try to do to you guys if you've got potential for God? He's going to come after you. And it's not going to be coming after you with, you know, obvious, you know, stupid things and stuff like that off the bat. He's going to come with something positive, like a friend. The same way he came to Eve in the garden. He came with three positive things. He didn't say, hey, leave God and come out and do sin with me and, you know, just live a life of hell and all these bad things. He came with three positive things. He said, I got something that's good for food. I got something that's pleasant to the eyes. Matter of fact, it'll even make you smarter. You see that? The things that the devil's going to come to you with are going to be positive. Just like that kid Ross thought, this is my friend. I can go wherever I need to go with him. It's all right. It's a positive invitation. He didn't say he's going to take me somewhere and beat me up. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone, obviously. But the invite's going to be positive. Before long, half your head's going to be blown out. You're going to be shot through your chest and missing one arm. And like I said, you guys have great potential for the Lord. And because of that, just know, guys, maybe right now it seems like things are kind of rough or whatnot. I guarantee you, as good as you kids are, you're going to become very, very, very attractive to the world. And they're going to start offering you guys certain things. They're going to start, I guarantee you, once you get out there into the world and you start getting jobs, your morals are going to be higher than the other people that you're working with. And so that's going to cause your boss to be like, man, let me give this guy more responsibility. But more responsibility, though, might come more time. More time might pull your time away from things that you're doing with God. Before long, God's on the back burner. You're doing positive things, but without knowing it, you're starting to lose your arm spiritually. You're starting to get stabbed through spiritually, not even knowing it. I guess what I'm really trying to say is, guys, be careful that no matter what you get into in your lives, you guys remember what made you what you are. If there's any good thing about you, it's because of what Jesus Christ has done in your lives. And I understand that's kind of hard to see right now because nobody's really out on their own yet. But talk to Aaron and Kelly. Talk to some of these guys that are in college. You know, Caleb and Sarah, Justin and Angela. You know, come talk to me. The moment that you get out there in that world, you'll start to realize what sets you apart. It's not your looks. It's not your skills. It's something special. It's God's hand on you, helping you out through life, okay? And if you don't have that, see, that's the thing. I remember back when I first came to this church, I think I was making a little, and this sounds hilarious, but I was making a little over maybe $10,000 a year. Just in case you guys are wondering, that's very poor, okay? I was making a little over $10,000 a year. I was living with three guys, and you know, we were splitting rent like $200 a person or something like that. I would eat ramen noodles and hot dogs. And every now and then, if we were going to splurge, we like had some chicken that we used to take out on the grill and barbecue or whatnot. It was good living then. But other than that, you know, try to go over people's houses, you know, find out what nights they're cooking, you know, sit in and eat with them, stuff like that. But I was just thinking about that. In the midst of all that, I don't remember feeling like I was missing out on anything. You know, because during that time, I was trusting in God for so much and relying on him. It seemed like no matter what I prayed, no matter what I asked God for, he would just drop it on me. And when I would come to church, no matter what the preacher preached, I would get a blessing from it. No matter who got up and spoke, I would find something that just impacted me hugely. I mean, it could be a guy that got up and stumbled all over everything and nobody else got nothing from it. For me, it was like the greatest blessing ever. Because the Bible talks about to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know, it didn't matter what somebody dropped down there because I had my relationship with God right. That's the biggest thing I'm trying to get back at right now. You're like, well, hurry up and try, man, because you've been stumbling. All right, but that's the thing that I'm talking about. If you guys keep your relationship with God number one and keep that thing solid, it really doesn't matter what else happens in your life. It doesn't matter all the other stuff that tries to come in the way. But what the devil's going to try to do, this is what I'm getting at. What the devil's really going to try to do, he wants to tear that relationship down. A lot of you guys have set aside time daily right now where you can, you know, spend time in your Bible or pray or read something. But I guarantee you he's going to try to bring something in your life that's positive to take that time away so that you're too worn out at night and then day after day, that time gets taken away. And before long, like I said, you end up where that kid Ross was, you know, somewhere halfway shot off and all this other stuff like that. I love the thing about Trey, though, that one, the guts it takes to get up and admit something like that, that you're struggling and you're working through these things. You know, because when you come to church, most everyone wants to look spiritual and like they have it all together. So that took guts and courage. Then secondly, it's a blessing that whenever you do fall away from God, that it actually hurts you. I think more scary than falling away from God would be to fall away and it not affect you. Right? Yeah, that would really suck. One, because that meant maybe I never really had nothing with him. And number two, if he didn't grab me and make me hurt, you know, it's like maybe he never had nothing with me. And so, Trey, that's a testimony to what you really have with the Lord right there, okay? Praise the Lord for that. You keep nurturing that thing and working on it. But for the rest of you guys, remember that. He's a little older than most of you, except for AJ. Cody, you got him the same age as greatest Trey, right? Or are you older?
No, he's older.
He's older. All right, that's right. You said yes, sir, to him. No. So, but yeah. For real, look at the guys that are older than you. Look at what they're going through. Mark that. Understand that. Well, thank God Trey's in the youth group with me, and I can see what he's going through. I already have a heads up on what the devil's going to toss my way, right? Duh. Remember we talked about don't be a spiritual retard? Don't sit up here and listen to the stuff that Aaron and Kelly went through, that Justin and Angela went through. Hear everything word for word and then go repeat it yourselves. Right? I mean, come on now. So, thank you for sharing that. Logan, thank you so much for sharing that too. This is why it's so important for us to have these relationships with one another, for you guys to be able to feed off of Christians, understand their struggles. And maybe that's the last thing, guys. I think we get embarrassed by that, like that we fall and that we mess up and that we get out of fellowship. Listen, when God found you, you were in a fallen state. You were never good. Okay, the thing about Christianity isn't how high you can walk, and we know we sing the song Higher Ground, but it's something that we're trying to attain. It's something that we're trying to get to. We're on the low ground, all right? We're trying to step up to where Jesus Christ is. But the fact of the matter is, it's not about how many times you fall. It's all about getting up in Christianity. When God found you, you were fallen, okay? You walk, the Bible compares a human being to a worm, all right? You're on the ground, you're in the mud. The whole thing about this, the thing about the Christian life is not about falling. God already saw you in a fallen state. All right? The thing about the Christian life is when you are fallen, will you continue to get up based off of what Jesus Christ has done? Will you keep getting up? Every human being is fallen. The ones that are different are the ones that keep trying to get up and do something for God. They don't stay in that state. They don't stay in that condition. All right? So that's the thing that really matters. The Bible says a just man falleth seven times and riseth again. Right? That's the difference right there. Will you keep on getting up? Or will you give up on what God's trying to do in your life? Will you just go ahead and go the way of the world because it's just easier, more comfortable? So, once again, guys, thank you so much for that. Remember those things. And we'll have a word of prayer. And then I want Angela to come up here and lay out what we're going to do with cars. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time that we got to spend today. Lord, I love when you do that. It seems like we're just kind of going through a usual little service and youth night, and you come in and just give us a good blessing, Lord, like that, and I appreciate it. And Father, I pray that we're just all looking to our lives and see what positive things the devil is trying to put into our lives to subtly take us away from you, Lord. that are out there, and you said that those attempts, when he comes, Lord, they're not going to be obvious, Lord. He's a deceiver. And, Lord, he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But, Father, you said in your Bible that he didn't appear as a lion or as a wolf, but he appears as a wolf in sheep's clothing, Lord. You said that he didn't appear as the angel of darkness. You said he appears as an angel of light. So help us to remember those things, Lord, when we're in the world and doing our daily task and secular things, Father, to remember that there's always some type of trap that he's trying to set for us, something he's trying to get us caught off on, so that we esteem our relationship with you less, we spend less time with you. And Lord, help the kids just to have wisdom and discernment and discretion to see those things in their lives that the devil's trying to drop in. Maybe it's sports, maybe it's a job, maybe it's schoolwork itself, Lord, that the devil's trying to use to pull them away from a relationship with you. Help them to see those things and spot those things and be smarter than the problem. Well, I love you and I thank you and I pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
All right, Angela, come up here and lay out that whatever we're going to do with the cards.